It is our honor to invite our sixth speaker tonight. He is Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran. His topic, which he is going to be speaking about, is how Imam Hussein alayhi salam transformed the history of mankind. Let's invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. بارئ الخلائق اجمعين وباعث الانبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاه والسلام على النبي الامي العربي الهاشمي القرشي العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد الذي سمي في السماء باحمد وفي الاراضين بابي القاسم مصطفى محمد ثم الصلاة والسلام على آله آل الله واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أعداء الله إلى قيام يوم الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم يا أبا عبد الله الحسين أشهد أن دمك سكن في الخلد واقشعرت له أذلة العرش وبكى له جميع الخلائق وبكت له السماوات السبع والأرضون السبع وما فيهن وما بينهن ومن يتقلب في الجنة والنار من خلق ربنا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلوا على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد عجل فرج السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته respected brothers and sisters may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts in the majalis of Abi Abdullah during these days and nights of the month of Hussein alayhi salam month of Muharram We have in narrations, like one of the most well-known narration by Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, they talk about the reward of the mourning, weeping, crying for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, holding majalis and going to ziyara of Karbala. Like one of the narrations here we have from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam to Ibn al-Shabib, the famous narration. In this narration, Imam al-Ridha says, إِن بَكَيْتَ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ خَتَّى تَصِيرَ دُمُوعُكَ عَلَى خَدَّيْكَ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ كُلَّ ذَنْبٍ If you cry for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, if you weep for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, until the drops of your tear reaches your cheek, In that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your sins. Everything you did. Every act of transgression you committed. Sometimes when we encounter these narrations, it seems somehow we love Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and we believe all these narrations, but somehow it seems to be so, you know, strange. Maybe too much. Drop of tear washes away everything. In another narration in Kamal al-Ziyarat, we have from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, if a person decides to go to Karbala, with the first step, He's going the first step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives every sin that he committed since he had the taklif. Okay? And then he says, وَيُقَدَّسْ بِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ. By any step, he becomes holier and holier, more sacred, this person. Why is it like this? Okay, we love Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. But why? We committed many things in our life. Just a step towards Karbala, a drop of tear. What is the secret behind all of this greatness of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and working for him? We have in the ziyarah, I think it is a ziyarah Sha'baniya, for the first day of Sha'ban or the 15th of Sha'ban. A beautiful line we recite in this ziyarah. We say, Ashhadu annaka, we call Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, Ashhadu annaka, qutilta wa lam tamut, bal biraja'i hayatika hayyat qulubu shi'atik. I testify, I bear witness that qutilta, you were killed, wa lam tamut, but you did not die. Okay? You were killed, but you're alive. بَلْ بِرَجَاءِ حَيَاتِكَ حَيِّيَتْ قُلُوبُ شِيَعَتِكَ. And because your followers, they hope and they know that you are alive, their hearts are still alive. This is all because of you. We recite you. وَبِضْيَاءِ نُورِكَ اِهْتَدَى الطَّالِبُونَ إِلَيْكَ. And because of your light, all those seekers of the truth can find their path. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ نُورُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يُطْفَى وَلَا يُطْفَى أَبَدًا. And I bear witness that you are the light of Allah. You are that lantern of guidance that can never be extinguished. We talk to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein like that. In Ziyaratul Arba'in, we say this. We say, Ya Allah, this servant of you, means Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, بَذَلَ مُهْجَتَهُ فِيكَ. He sacrificed his life. He gave away the blood of his heart. مُهْجَة means the blood of the heart. مُهْجَتَهُ فِيكَ. Why? لِيَسْتَنْقِذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجِهَالَةِ وَحَيْرَةِ الظَّلَالَةِ وَالْعَمَى وَالشَّكِ وَالْإِرْتِيَابِ إِلَى بَابِ الْهُدَى. He did this so he can save all your servants, not the Shia people, not white people, black people, Iranian people, Pakistani people, Indian people, no. Ibadaka means who? Every person, every human being. That was the purpose of the Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. لِيَسْتَنْقِذَ. He wanted to sacrifice himself to save all of your servants. From what? From al-dhalal, misguidance, al-shak, suspicion, al-ama, blindness. He wanted to do so. So, the mission of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is an international mission. And this mission cannot be confined to the time and age of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, because we know that the people of the age of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, they could not be guided. Many of them. It happened gradually, you know, during the time. So, I'm answering the first question. Why Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is that important? That Imam al-Ridha says, if you cry like that, all your sins will be erased, removed. If we look at the situation of the age and era that we are living in, maybe comprehending, understanding of what Ahlul Bayt are trying to say in these narrations, I think it could be easier for us to understand. For the people who are living in this age. Why? Because human being, for centuries, It's been for centuries, for 400 years, 300 years. The modern human being, because of all what happened in the Europe at the Renaissance, okay, human being decided to exclude the religion, spirituality, the unseen world from the life, okay? Human being said, okay, it's enough, is enough, okay? All what happened in the church, all those dark ages that happened to us, we don't need that anymore. So we have to stand on our feet. We have to decide what to do in our daily life. We shape our society, we shape our life, we shape our culture, we shape our economy, we shape our politics, okay? We have this rationality to do so. So by that, human being decided, and by human being, initially we mean the Western human being, and then you can say all the world. And in one speech I said that if it were not because of Imam Khomeini, the whole world. But okay. Human being decided to say that I believe just in this world, in this material world, I believe in this realm. I cannot for sure say that something transcendental exists. Or if that exists, it doesn't have any influence on my daily life. Okay. At the beginning, the progress and development in the science, in technology, in everything, people, you know, human being was so proud of himself. All those means of transportation, in the healing and medical issues, in the engineering, everything that we are living now with. But at the beginning of the 20th century, especially by philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, or other well-known philosophers who lived there in the Western countries, they started to say that something's wrong. Nietzsche, he died on 1899, you know, 15 years before the First World War, okay? He said that science and this kind of conception that we have in the modern age, that we think that we will be the end of the history of the human being. We will end everything with peace and you know, dignity and everything that human being needs. And progress. He said no. Something's missing. And by this, you know, path that you're taking, you're doomed to fail. And after 15 years, the First World War happened. After 50 years, Second World War happened. And human being felt that, no, science is not enough. Science is not going to put us together peacefully. We need another, you know, aspects of life. This is the, by that, we cannot reach the perfection of the human being, of humanity. And this is so important in the philosophy. You know, we have the postmodern philosophers. They believe that in modernity was not enough. We have to do something else. And I'm not going to get into that. But human being, even Western human being, realized that it's not enough. So what was their response? Their response was not the true and real response to this very important question. What is the question? What is the salvation of the human being? And what is the means to reach that salvation? They thought, as Shahid Mutahhari says in his book Insan ve Iman, Man and Faith, and I recommend all of you to read that book, he says that Western philosophers and thinkers, they thought that they can replace, you know, religion with art, with literature, with history, okay? With cinema, that gives you a, you know, conception above this material world. What is cinema? What does it give you? Okay? It gives you super people with superpowers that does not exist in this world. But a human being knows that it has to be somewhere. I know Superman and Spider-Man all are fake, okay? But deep down, he knows that there is a superpower out there. I'm just going to fabricate that superpower. I'm not going to say that who has the real superpower. Because if I say that, I'm going to ruin the whole civilization by my hands, okay? So I don't do that. This is the most important question. And brothers and sisters, you know, the real answer to this question, we believe, according to our beliefs, according to Quran, is the belief in unseen. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. This Quran is guidance for pious people. Who are pious people? الذين يؤمنون بالغيب. Those who believe in the unseen world. Allah Ta'ala here in Tafsir al-Mizan, he says that Quran says before everything, before accepting the invitation of Rasulullah, you have to believe in unseen. He says believing in unseen is fitri, is in human's nature. So if you accept the belief in unseen, then you will be benefited from the guidance of Quran. Without believing in unseen, human beings' reality is distorted, is diverted. This is why you try so hard. Today's human being tries so hard to somehow solve this problem, but he can't. And he never can do this. Until he goes back to this real answer to this question. Because we believe that human being is made of clay, but also of another aspect above this material world. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَلَهُ الْأَمْرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَىٰ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلَ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَاب ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The example of Jesus Christ in Quran is like the example of Adam, salamullahi alayhi. So what is the example of Adam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَاب. First, he was made out of clay. Is this a human being? No. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. What is kun fayakun? Fa'idha, in another verse in Quran, fa'idha sawaytuhu wa nafakhtu fihi min ruhi faqa'u lahu sajidin. And when I finished the creation, the material creation of the human being, sawaytuhu, this is the end of the human being, no. Wa nafakhtu fihi min ruhi. And I breathed into human being my soul. What does that mean? Inshallah, another sessions, lectures. But because this human being has this nafkh, this breath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now, O angels, faqa'u lahu sajidin. Now all of you have to bow down to this Adam. So, in the nature of this human being, there is the breath of Allah, the soul of Allah. Okay? So, like in our nature, we need food and we need water. And without water and without food, after some days, some weeks, we're going to die. In our nature, we have that soul of Allah, that breath of Allah, that transcendental aspect of the humanity. And without that, by neglecting that, human being is going to die. And he feels this death, especially is if that person is not from those people who are totally dead before. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَسْتَغْفَرْتَ لَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. Okay. So this part of human being, this aspect of the human being, is the most important aspect of this human being. Without that, he's nothing. And don't be like those people who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the consequence of forgetting Allah? Forgetting yourself. This is the consequence. What does forgetting Allah means? It means that you are disconnected from your immaterial aspect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let you to forget yourself. Then you are no human being anymore. Okay. And this is the definition of al-dhalal, al-ama, al-shak, al-irtiyab. And all those are the characteristics of today's world and today's civilization and today's philosophy. Now, please, brothers and sisters, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Leave the conversation on social media for just some minutes, okay? By understanding that, how Imam Hussein is that great? Because Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is the greatest manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in believing in unseen world, in giving human being his reality back. So, in this world, in this age, which is the age of blindness and suspicion and doubt and confusion and misguidance, this is not my words. Western philosophers, they say this is the age of doubt. We can't be sure about anything anymore. Go and read David Hume. He said, you can never be sure about any proposition, even in empirical sciences, okay? You can't be ever sure about anything. So this is the age of suspicion, the age of doubt, the age of misguidance, the age of... And we recite in Ziyaratul Arba'een that the savior of this age is Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Why? I'm just going to, mention two of these reasons. One for today, inshallah, the next one tomorrow. The first thing is that Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is the easiest and fastest means to reach the unseen world. You don't need to be Allama Tabatabai or Mirza Jawad al-Maliki Tabriz or Ayatollah Behjat to feel spirituality through Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. That old lady in a faraway village, even she can feel spirituality through Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Safinatun Najah. He is Misbahul Huda, the lantern of guidance, because of that. Because of that, he is the lantern of the guidance. Just don't undermine and underestimate the incident of Ashura. That yes, we are some Shias from Iran, Pakistan, India, Africa, some, yes, there and there. We get together, we have majalis, and end of the day, okay, it's over. It was fun. No, it's not. We have this mission to preach the word of Abi Abdullah, to show the whole world who is Hussein. And that would be the interpretation of this line of Ziyaratul Arba'in. That would be the interpretation of this line of Ziyaratul Sha'ban. Ashhadu annaka qutilta wa lam tamut bal birja'i hayatik hayyat qulubu shi'atik. This is why if you take anyone from any religion to Bainul Haramain, he feels something else. Okay? It's different for everyone. Something great happened. Now, why your tears on your face gives you the golden key of paradise? Because by that tear, it has another spiritual reasons, but one of the reasons, I think, is that by that tear, by that member, by that Nuh Matam, you're transmitting and transporting the message of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein to the next ages. Did our ancestors, would they believe what is happening now about Abi Abdullah al-Hussein? 30 years ago here, Saddam was in charge, was in office in Iraq. No one would expect to go to Ziyarah. We had some, you know, just some imaginations about everything in Karbala and Najaf and everywhere. But they tried so hard. They taught us. Our mothers and fathers, our parents nurtured us on the love of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And this is the historical mission of the followers of Ahlul Bayt for today. To talk about Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. To spread the message of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And this is, brothers and sisters, mind-boggling. We have some narrations, like a narration from Imam Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. There he says that إِذَا خَرَجَ, I think this is the, I have the exact narration. إِذَا خَرَجَ, Imam Sadiq says, yes, this is in Al-Ghayba of Nu'mani. إِذَا خَرَجَ الْقَائِمُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدْ صَلُّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدْ اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. When our the Imam of the time, Imam al-Zaman, when Imam al-Sadiq says, when he comes, خرج من هذا الأمر من كان يرى أنه من أهله. People who thought that they are in the path of Ahlul Bayt, who are the followers of Ahlul Bayt, some of them, actually, they will leave this camp. وَدَخَلَ فِيهِ شِبْهُ عَبَدَةِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. Allah, subhanallah. And people who are like sun worshippers and moon worshippers, they will enter the camp of Ahlul Bayt. How? Because they receive the message of the love of Ahlul Bayt, especially Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. They have ideas, some ideas about Ashur, about Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And unfortunately, some of the followers of Ahlul Bayt who think that they are in the path of Ahlul Bayt, they leave the camp of Ahlul Bayt. We think, we always think that is so easy, brothers and sisters. Maybe in other session I told this story for you. We always think that it's so easy to be in the camp of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. It's not that easy, brothers and sisters. It is said that a person who always thought that it was so easy, why people say, yes, ya laytani kuntu ma'ak fa afuz fawzan azima. It was easy. If I were there, I would do the same thing that Habib did, Sa'id did, Ali ibn al-Akbar did. It is said that he, in his dream, he was in the on the plains of Karbala and was riding his horse, just reached the battlefield and two sides of Abi Abdullah, the side of the and the tents of Abi Abdullah and the tents of the enemies, and he thought that the ocean of soldiers are in the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd. Ocean of soldiers. And he turned back and returned. We always think that it's so easy. It's not easy. It was never easy. It is so hard to be Hur ibn Yazid in al-Riyah. It's so difficult to be Hur, to leave everything behind. And you didn't write any letter to Hussein ibn Ali. You're not accountable here, yes? You didn't write any letter. Okay, so I can just leave this battlefield for an excuse. I'm sick. I've got problems. I've got my wife has some issues in Kufa. But it didn't do so. He stood on the battlefield and he fought alongside the companions of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Is that easy? It was never easy. It's so hard. If it was easy, the 72 companions would be 72,000. But they are just 72, not more. وإني لا أعلم أصحابا أبر وأوفى من أصحابي. I don't know any companion better and more loyal than my companions, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein says. Being in majalis is easy, but taking sides is difficult. When it comes to take a side, that is the moment. Yes, I'm in majalis. Everyone is good. Every alim, a scholar is good. Every person is good. Good is good. Okay. And I go home. That's easy. That doesn't require anything. It's even fun. It's an amusement for me. It's a gathering. I see my family, my relatives, my friends. But was it the purpose of Ashura and Karbala? On the day of Ashura, you had to take sides. You had to be in one camp. And one of the camps was against Husayn ibn Ali, the grandson of Rasulullah. Okay. So we need this, brothers and sisters. Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is the closest path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the spirituality, towards the unseen world. And without that, human being is nothing. So we can say that with Hussein, humanity is humanity. And without him is nothing. It's just a more sophisticated animal, not a human being. Okay? And it has another aspect, inshallah, tomorrow I will talk about. And that is more about taking sides. And how Abi Abdullah al-Hussein could reach that level, brothers and sisters? We have this verse in Quran that لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُخِبُّونَ. And you can never reach the level of righteousness until you give away, you sacrifice what you dearly love. What you love, your time, your reputation, your family, your relatives, your children, and even your life. And Abi Abdullah al-Hussein gave away everything. His reputation, his properties, his relatives, his family, his children, his brothers. He knew that after his martyrdom, even his sanctity will be violated. His haram, his sisters and daughters and wives are going to be enslaved by those people. And what is more difficult than that? This is the level of sacrifice, the highest level of sacrifice in the human history. Happened by Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. This is why Nuh, Adam, Musa, Isa, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, Ibrahim, all of them, when they have a very serious request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had to do tawassul to Hussein ibn Ali. Adam, when he wanted to repent to Allah. Nuh, when he wanted to go to the ship. Every single one of them. This tawassul to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, we have in this book, Kamil al-Ziyarat. The first reciter of Rose, of Masa'ib, are the prophets. Prophet Adam is the first one. And the first one actually is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a beautiful poetry by Hafiz. Do you know Hafiz? The famous Iranian poet, okay? He says in that poetry, مرید پیر مغانم. Please listen to this. زمن مرنج ای شیخ، چرا که وعده تو کردی یا او به جا آورد. The, you know, simple translation is that I am the follower, the murid of that great old spiritual man. Okay. So don't be upset and sad with me, O Shaykh. I'm the follower of that person, not you, O Shaykh. Why? Because چرا که وعده تو کردی او به جا آورد. Because you promised, but he kept your promise. Some of those people, great ulama here, wanted to explain this poetry of Hafiz, and they said Hafiz here means Adam and Amir al-Mumin Ali alayhi salam. What does that mean then? It means, oh Adam, don't be sad with me. I am the follower of Ali. Why? Because you promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to eat from that fruit in the garden of the heaven. But Ali kept the promise and deprived himself from many things in this worldly life. Beautiful. But others say that this poetry might have a more accurate explanation. And in that explanation, Pir Mughan is Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and Sheikh is Ibrahim. And Hafiz is saying, I am the follower of Hussein, Ya Ibrahim. Don't get mad at me. Why? Because you promised to sacrifice your son, but he kept your promise. This is why those verses of Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ, some of the Mufassirin, they say this Dhibhul Azim was not that animal for Ibrahim to do sacrifice in that time. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ means, Ya Ibrahim, in your generation, in your bloodline, will be the greatest sacrifice. The greatest dhabih will be in your bloodline. Sallallahu alayka ya mazlum ya Aba Abdullah السلام عليك يا مولاي وعلى الملائكة المرفرفين حول قبتك الحافين يا بتربتك الطائفين بعرستك الواردين لزيارت بس بيبان يوم مستر and the angels who flutter around your doom surround your grave يا باب الله الوسيا. Dedicated to the beloved son of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, Ali al-Akbar. Brothers and sisters, it was so difficult for Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, but it was the greatest sacrifice of him intentionally, because Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, when he was bringing Ali al-Asghar to the battlefield, he is Imam, he knows everything, but maybe people in the tents, they knew, they hoped that maybe Abi Abdullah takes Ali al-Asghar back with a drop of water. But about Ali al-Akbar, after all companions got killed on the plains of Karbala, he knew that he should be the first person to go to the battlefield. It didn't wait for the call of death. Maybe it was like that when he entered the tent of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. Maybe firstly Abi Abdullah smiled and said Alhamdulillah because of the sun. He knows what to do. We have been maqatil. Fasta'adhana Aba, the only person like Ali, like this is Ali ibn al-Akbar. Everyone who came and asked for the permission to go to the battlefield, Abi Abdullah would not accept easily. No one, Al-Qasim, Abul Fadl al-Abbas, other companions, just one person, فَاسْتَأْذَنَ أَبَايَا Abi Abdullah agreed and said, go, my son. Beautiful lines by Imam al-Sadiq in Ziyaratu Mawlana Ali ibn al-Akbar. We recite their Abi Ansa wa Ummi min madbuhin wa maghtulin min ghayr jood. Abi Ansa wa Ummi min مقدم بين يدي أبيك يحتسبك ويبكى عليك محترقا عليك قلبه. Your father wept for you with his heart on fire. يا علي الأكبر يا الله Akbar was ready to go, and he started to walk to the battlefield. Abi Abdullah was looking at him. ونظر إليه نظرة عايز منه. Imam Hussein looked at him with eyes devoid of hope. He knows that he's not gonna return. Here, Abi Abdullah, as a famous dog, he's witnessing, his heart is going. He said, Allahumma fashhad ala haulai al-qawm. Laqad baraza ilayhim ghulamun. Ashbahu al-nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan bi rasul. Ya Allah, bear witness that the young man riding towards them is your prophet's son and resembles him more than anyone in looks and in manners and in his speech. He was like Rasulullah going to the battlefield. He was Ali, his name was Ali. And he was as strong as his grandfather Ali, like his grandfather Ali. He fought in the battlefield, killed tens of those enemies of Ahlul Bayt. But it is said he became exhausted, thirsty. In Maqtal, we read here, ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِ وَقَدْ أَصَابَتْهُ جَرَاحَاتٌ كَثِيرٌ. He returned to his father, and he was wounded in the battlefield. And he said, يَا أَبَتَ أَلْعَتَجُ غَرْغَتَلَنِي وَثِغْلُ الْحَدِيدِ قَدْ أَجَدَنِي. The thirst is killing me now. The thirst is killing me, ya Abata. Abi Abdullah said, it's so difficult. You're asking me something that I cannot give to you, ya Ali ibn Akbar. Go to the battlefield again, and Rasulullah will quench your thirst. He went to the battlefield, and it was, they surrounded him, tens of soldiers with swords, with arrows. Ya Mawla, until he took a blow to the head, and his horse, instead of taking the wounded Ali back to his father, took him to the enemy.
فقدعوا بسيوفهم اربا اربا يا they cut him to pieces with their swords يا عبد الله. This was the time علي الأكبر loudly said يا أبا نصر هذا جدي رسول الله يغرك السلام. Oh father, this is رسول الله coming to me and says salam to you. This time Abi Abdullah heard the voice of Ali ibn al-Akbar, came to get his son's body, but there was no part of it left on arm. He hadn't even reached Ali's body when he threw himself off his horse. He approached the body on his knees, Ya Allah. He bent over it, he rested his face against Ali ibn al-Akbar's face, and he wept. And he started saying that, Waladi. Seven times it is said that Ali and Abu Abdullah says, Waladi, 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 Waladi. When Zainab Salamullah alayhi heard the voice of Abi Abdullah saying, Waladi, Waladi, exited the tents. It is said in Maghtal, وَهِيَ تُنَادِي. This is what Zainab says. Ya, ya, Habiba, ya, ya, ibn akha, ya, 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 Habiba, ya, Habiba, ya, Habiba. Abi Abdullah tried to get this body back to the tents, but he had no ability to do so. He called the youth of Bani Hashim, Halummu, Hamalu, Akhakum ila al-Fusta, Jamalane, Bani Hashim. مظلوم ابن المظلوم أبا المظلوم يا أبا الأحرار يا سيدي ومولاي يا غريب يا عطشان يا ظمآن لا أضحك الله سن وآل أحمد مظلومون قد قهروا. إلهي بدم المظلوم يا الله يا الله يا Everyone. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Allahumma ij'alna min khullas shi'at maulana amir al-mu'minin. Allah, Ya Amin, bifa'am.
Say Amin after all these supplications, inshallah, inshallah, through this sincere tears and sincere hearts, inshallah. Abi Abdullah Hussein asks Allah to answer all the requests of the all the brothers and sisters present here, inshallah.
Allahumma ja'alna min khullas shi'ati maulana amir al-mu'mineen. اللهم اشغل الظالمين بالظالمين واجعلنا بينهم سالمين غانمين اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين بكربلاء اللهم سلم واحفظ قائدنا الخامنئي اللهم اجعلنا من أنصار المهدي اللهم اجعلنا من عوان المهدي اللهم اجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يدي المهدي اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من خير عوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة مع السلامة.